Hi, good morning and welcome to Great Green Questions. My name's Juliet Davenport. And from last week's episode, you will have heard how much I love the weather. However, I think we might have had our overdose today. And I would normally be on a walk at this time of the morning, but I'm sitting slightly damp, having ventured outside, listening to the wind whirl round the house. Certainly made for more exciting dog walks, that's definitely for sure. Anyway, better to actually tell you about the podcast today. So we've all heard the phrase, vote with your wallet. And we have a relationship with money, whether we like it or not, whether it's buying things, not buying things, investing, not investing. And it applies really to climate change. So today's great green question is, can we invest our cash today without threatening tomorrow? And I have a great panel of two guests, Hugh Davis, senior advisor for Make Money Matter campaign, and as part of a national campaign to help people understand where their money is going and to help change the financial system for better. Previously, he was head of retailing at Triodos Bank, one of Europe's leading sustainable and ethical banks, so he knows a few things about money. My second guest is Isabel Lassander, who is an author, speaker and journalist. Now, she brings a sense of humour and a sense of humanism, really, to everything she does, which makes her perfect for this podcast. Her most recent book, The Joyful Environmentalist, takes a look at the everyday areas of environmentalists and how we can inject some lightness and joy into them. So two amazing people to talk about this subject, which can occasionally be a little dry. So we kicked off with Hugh giving us a run through of how and where your money is spent when you're not using it, and how you can check if your money is being used for funds to trade, fossil fuels, deforestation, whatever you're really worried about. And we get into discussing pensions and what does it mean to have a pension and where does that pension get spent and how green really are our pensions. And Isabel talk about the groundswell of movements demanding local authorities and our institutions divest from fossil fuels. So loads was covered. But enough from me, over to today's episode. I read the first half of the question and it was fine. And then I got to the second half where I don't actually understand what that meant, which then left Hugh slightly hanging. So I apologise to you. I hadn't read that question through completely.
Juliet, can I just apologise for the number of times I interrupted? There was one time when you went to ask a question and I just get very excited and enthusiastic and things like that.
No, it's fine.
I'm so sorry.
That was a bit of a grilling at one point.
I'm so sorry, Hugh. I'm just thinking of the listeners.
Hello and welcome to Great Green Questions. A lot of people can feel very guilty about not being a perfect environmentalist. Must we forego flights to fight the big fight? Is being vegan the only way to save the planet? And are bananas really bad? And today we're going to talk about money, something that all of us have an interest in. So I'm going to kick off my own confession. I'm an environmentalist, but Good Energy, the company I founded 20 years ago, still has a pension scheme that's not completely divested from fossil fuels. And that is despite my best efforts and the efforts of lots of people at Good Energy and other ethical companies to push for better pension providers. But the fact is that our current financial system is financing fossil fuels. A recent report by the coalition of NGOs called the Banking on the Climate Chaos found that the UK's top five banks provide around $220 billion for fossil fuel projects from 2016 to 2020. It's not something we normally consider. And in fact, a recent survey of UK pension savers found that 80% hadn't even considered that they might be contributing to global warming. What do we do with our money is of huge importance when it comes to climate change. And today I have two brilliant panellists to help me navigate this complex and murky topic. The big green question we're going to try and answer today is, can I invest my cash today without threatening tomorrow? So my first panellist is Hugh Davis. Hugh, please introduce yourself.
Thanks, Juliet. Hi, I'm Hugh Davis. I've worked in sustainable finance for over a decade now, trying to change the financial system for the better. And I'm just a few weeks into my current job as senior finance advisor to Make My Money Matter, which is an exciting campaign working hard to make the pensions industry more sustainable. So there's £2.6 trillion invested in UK pensions, and we want it to be put to use building the future that many of us want to see rather than fueling the fire of climate change. And prior to that, I was spent 9 years as head of retail banking at Triodos Bank, where my proudest achievement, I think, was developing and launching a really sustainable personal current account.
Brilliant. And how would you describe your relationship with money?
Well, for me anyway, I guess I can see now how it maybe changes during your life. Certainly when I was younger, there were times when I thought, you know, how much do I have to spend this week, this month? What do I want to buy? Where am I going out? That kind of thing. But then there's been other times of focus on savings, like savings for a house deposit and then also pensions within that. And certainly in the last 15 years or so, I think I've been much more connected to its potential impact in terms of both what I use it for and where I put it. So that now I find it really quite an empowering part of trying to make conscious environmentally friendly choices, whether I spend, save, or save for the long term in a pension.
And Hugh, do you have an environmental confession for us?
Yeah, and again, I'm sure I have a few, and I'm sure it's quite common, is that I do love travel, and I've always loved exploring new places. I really love slow journeys and trains in particular, but the reality has been that to get to these places within a 2 week holiday, I've had no real choice if I want to go there rather than to take long flights. So that's one to reflect on. And I think whilst I didn't do it often, I think there's something about reducing frequency and taking more trips nearer to home on the most climate friendly transport you can.
Oh, brilliant. Well, we've just literally done an episode on slow travel. So if you get a chance, do listen to it. There's some brilliant ideas coming from the panel on that. So my next brilliant panellist is Isabel. Please introduce yourself, Isabel.
Hi, lovely to be here, Juliet. Thrilled to be on your podcast. So my name is Isabel Losada, and I'm the author of a book called The Joyful Environmentalist. And the reason I wrote that book is because I'd been reading for 2 years all the books about the environment, and they were all very depressing. And when people write a book about environmentalism, they all feel obliged, the authors feel obliged in the first two chapters to tell you just how grim the situation is.
Yes.
So by the time you've got through the breadth of the problem and the depth of the problem and the history of the problem and the magnitude of the problem, you're ready to kill yourself. So the first line of my book is, so what I'm doing is this, because I think we already know how grim it is. And then I wanted to combine it with things that we can do that save the planet, that also are joyful and enrich our lives, because life is short. So the premise of the book is to have fun with environmentalism.
Brilliant. I love that. And Isabel, how would you describe your relationship with money?
Well, one of the things I look at is how every aspect of our life related to what it does with the environment. So what I did with my money is I wrote to my high street bank that I'd been with all my life, really, since I was a teenager. And I asked them, who are you lending my money to and what are you investing it in? And I pretended rather naughtily that I was writing a major feature for The Guardian, so I made sure I got their attention. About 2 weeks, they wrote back lots of sort of gobbledygook, basically saying, no, it's not in the public domain who we lend to and who we invest in. And they tried to explain about ring fencing. And I thought, well, I'm not really happy with any of this. So then I looked at the ethical consumer, it's like, which is a more ethical bank? And of course, they recommended Triodos, Hugh's previous job. And so then I asked Triodos, who do you lend money to and who do you invest in? And they said, oh, well, it's on the link here on, you know, page 5 of the website. So my relationship with money now is, for the first time in my life, I have a bank that I'm proud to be with. And my relationship with money is delightful. And I think it doesn't make any difference whether it's £14 in the account or, you know, for other people, £40,000 in the account. I think the idea is to just not be with the high street banks on principle. So my relationship with, obviously, the huge amount of money I make through being an author is a positive one, because I'm very happy to have an ethical bank now.
Fantastic. And do you have an environmental confession, or have you fixed all the environmental issues in your life now?
There are so many, so many. And when I was asked this question, I thought, but get this, only yesterday I was forced to buy a load of plastic. And this horrified me, because I normally go to great lengths to avoid plastic. But where I live, we have a communal garden, and we needed to buy a water butt. So I spent a lot of time on an organic gardening site, and they even had fake wood water butts that were actually made of plastic or plastic water butts. And in the end, I thought, this is hopeless. So I thought, right, well, that's my support for the fossil fuel industry for today. I'm buying a plastic water butt for my garden. That was yesterday. But I do my best and I have fun avoiding the environmental pitfalls most of the time. I make a game of it.
Well, what you're going to have to do is just keep that water butt forever and never go away. Then you can get your value, environmental value back.
I think it will last forever. It will probably last longer than the planet. Because it's not going to break down.
Yeah. So let's kick off and try and define the problem about sort of where our money goes. We've heard the phrase vote with your wallet. Hugh, does our money really matter where we spend it?
Yeah, firstly, I love what you said, Isabel, about, well, two things. Firstly, that you're really proud of your bank now, because I think that's something that a lot of people just never even think to say.
Certainly a new experience, Hugh. Yeah.
So it's great. But the other thing as well was that I think it's great what you said around it doesn't matter whether you have £14 or 40,000. I think that's really important, because everything we're talking about today is not just for rich people. It's for everybody. And that really goes on to answer your question, Julia, is that I think that, of course, it matters how we spend our money, you know, what we buy, where we buy it, how much we consume, what type of water butt we buy. Mm. But as well as impact when we spend our money, there's an enormous impact when our money is not being used by us. And this can be when it's in a savings account or in a pension. And like you said, Isabel, it really doesn't matter how little or how much money you have. The fact is that your money is at work when you're not spending it. It doesn't just sit there in a safe. Someone's not just got it, you know, in the back of an office somewhere. It's being used by banks, by investment managers, by pension schemes. And the important thing is that most people don't know that their money is invested, and they certainly don't think about how and where their money or their pension is being used in that way. So just touching on something you said, Juliet, at the start, 63% of people don't know where their pension is invested. And actually, for the 18 to 24-year-old group, that's three quarters. You know, 80% of people have never considered whether their pension is contributing to climate change, despite the huge societal focus on that as an issue. And well over half, 60+% of people, when asked, say they want their pension to actively fight against climate change. Again, almost three quarters amongst 18 to 24-year-olds. So the key thing I'd like to say to anyone listening to this is that we're almost all of us will therefore be investors to some degree. And therefore, it's important, if you care about this stuff, which I'm sure you do because you're listening to this podcast, it's important to consider what your money might be being used for whilst you're not using it. And then to act if you're not happy that it doesn't align to your values.
And Isabel, do you have a pension? I mean, you've told us about your brilliant banking experience, that you are now a green banker and very happy about it. But what about a pension? Do you have a pension?
I have to confess to you, I don't have a pension at all.
Ah, okay. That's the alternative. Don't have one.
Yeah, I don't. Well, but that's not an ethical decision. That's just a lack of the fact that I've never sorted out a pension for myself. But I have been doing some research and I found out that only last night, a group of Extinction Rebellion activists in my local council, 50 of them, are lobbying the council, that's Wandsworth Council, to disinvest in fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. And two of my friends who are part of that group have individually disinvested their pension funds. And that was just last night in a lobby against the local council. So it is spreading, because that was just yesterday. And I think one of the nice things is, a bit like when I moved to Triodos, is it's my experience in writing The Joyful Environmentalist is that people are desperate for positive actions they can take. Everybody wants to just say, well, what can I do? What can I do? And yeah, if you say, well, you can actually just change your bank account and it takes 3 minutes. You can change from your horrible energy provider to good energy, and that takes another 3 minutes. And it's empowering people with optimism, and obviously all our actions make a difference. So that's good news, isn't it?
I think it's really interesting, Isabel, because I remember when I first started to try and investigate my own pension, and you get all this information on your pension, but nothing that you actually want. And you then try and contact them, and they basically don't want you to contact them ever, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with the high street banks.
They've been set up so that you actually never get to speak to them. I mean, Hugh, this is a big challenge, isn't it, for individuals who want to take control like Isabel. I mean, Isabel's divested by not having a pension. That's one alternative, I guess. But if you do have a pension and you have one that's existing, how do you change it? I mean, it's really tough, isn't it?
It can be. I mean, I think maybe if I just start by saying that the real message and where we come at this challenge from as Make My Money Matter is to, firstly, to encourage people to educate themselves in terms of where their pension is invested. And like you were saying, that's not an easy thing in itself. But what we say is, look, contact your employer, speak to your pension scheme, and firstly, try and understand what is your pension scheme doing. And what we're trying to do, we think that actually the most power that we can have and the real way that we can change this is to get the pension schemes and the pension funds, the default funds, to change. So the funds that you're put into automatically that might not necessarily align with your values. And what we're asking people to do is to really, you know, use the voice that they have. Mm. It's our money. Use your voice to say, firstly, to understand whether you're happy with what that's invested in. And if you're not, to say, look, I want this to change. And so what we're calling on is for pension schemes to sign up to credible net zero commitments. That's our focus at the moment in advance of the climate conference later this year.
Fantastic. I just want to interrupt and say fantastic.
No, but it's not easy. And that's why what we're trying to do is create a real people-powered campaign to put some real weight and to show that people do care about this, and which is why we've set up this campaign. And that's why we're asking people to come to our website, join the campaign, sign the Green Pension Pledge to say that you will green your pension, and then to start to take some of those actions like I mentioned, like contacting your employer, contacting your pension provider, making a bit of a nuisance of yourself, you know, asking questions, tell them that you want your money to build a better place. And then a bit like you've just been saying, Isabel, you know, spread the word, tell your friends, tell people you know what they can do as well.
And the local council. I mean, I'm horrified to discover that our local council, ones with council pension funds, you know, that's what our local Extinction Rebellion group are doing. They're lobbying to get the local council's pension fund divested from fossil fuels.
I mean, I think that's a big point, Isabel, because there's a lot of councils in the UK who are invested in fossil fuel, and they kind of go under the radar. I mean, this is the point about money, Hugh, is it does seem to be, despite the fact that we use it every day of our lives, money is something that seems to be hidden about where it goes in the background, isn't it? One of the questions I have for you, actually, is that if you have a pension, it's quite difficult to actually move your pension around to, let's say I wanted to cash my pension in. I get a load of tax as a result of that. And it's really tough once you've got one to actually change it to something greener, isn't it?
It's tricky because, like with a lot of things, you know, your options will depend to some degree on your circumstances that you're in. So there's not necessarily going to be one thing that fits for everybody. So, you know, if you're in a workplace pension, for example, then your employer probably have an agreement with a pensions provider, and therefore you might be restricted in terms of where you can switch. If you have an old pension scheme pot, then you might be able to switch that money. So there's not any one action on moving that is necessarily the same for everybody, which is why, just to come back to the point I was raising before, we really think that the most powerful thing everybody can do is to actually ask for that transparency and raise your voice in terms of wanting the change. Because, you know, there are providers out there who provide sustainable funds, and that's great. It gives a degree of choice. But we know that the proportion of people that move from the default fund that they might be put into a very sustainable fund is fairly small, because it puts the onus on that person to make that switch. But as we're calling for, you can create a pensions industry where the default funds are aligned to net zero with credible plans to reduce emissions by 50% by 2030. That means that the power is so much bigger, and the onus is not on the individual then to have to make that choice to do something that's aligned.
And presumably, Hugh, lots of companies are moving forward, aren't they? And thinking long term, and thinking they want to get their ecological standing and their PR right. So presumably, you know, good companies do have a 10-year plan and will be thinking to move in this direction, won't they?
Yeah, and what we do at Make My Money Matter, there's as I talked about, there's the public campaign to get individuals to boost their awareness and to take action. But there's also a really important point for organisations as well. And I think that's an important strand of our campaign. And we've recently launched the Green Pension Charter to try and give a voice to organisations to come and sign that and to be committing to the fact that they are pledging to green the pensions that they provide for their employees as well. And we currently have 50 organisations, including Good Energy, signed up for that, but also some big names like IKEA, EY, BrewDog, WWF. So we really anticipate that there'll be some movement there and a real momentum, not just for individuals, but for organisations as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote to, I think, the CEOs of all the pension funds, and I have to say I got very different answers. Some were quite engaged with it, a lot still not engaged at all. You touched on this, Isabel. You've now switched away. That's one route, is you switch. But do you think we should be trying to encourage all the people who bank with Barclays or NatWest or any of the high street banks to write to the CEOs of those banks and asking them to divest? What do you think we can do as a practical way forward?
There's a nice little line in the book about being what I call a little bit activist.
Still with a cup of tea in your armchair.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't sound overwhelming. It doesn't sound like it's going to take over your whole life. But then on the other hand, it sounds a little bit scary. Because if you're a little bit activist and persevering, you're just going to do a little bit here and a little bit there and a letter here and a letter there. And also, I would like to say it's not just about fossil fuels. As I say in the book, I mean, somebody might be a deeply committed vegan who very much loves animals, and unknown to them, they might be investing in the local puppy farm down the road where they're doing horrendous vivisection. You know, you just have no idea where your money's going. That's what I loved about Triodos, is I could just look at the page and just see who they were investing in and just scroll down and look at all the projects. It's a level of transparency that you just can't fault. And then I said to them, yes, oh, by the way, when you leave, do let your high street bank know why you've left.
Yeah.
Just send them a letter saying, this is why I'm leaving. Of course, that's part of the pleasure of it. And that's being a little bit activist. It's just one letter. I've been banking with you for 30 years, but you're not transparent. And here this other bank is transparent. And I'm not interested in giving my money to the arms industry. Thank you very much. I'm looking at what's happening in the Middle East and I don't want to invest in it. So goodbye. Bye. You know, yes, definitely to write letters like that. They do pay attention because that's one of the natures of capitalism, is that they care about every single customer, every single purchase. They care desperately. So individuals must never think that their vote doesn't count, their voice doesn't count. It does count.
And actually, as an ex-CEO now just founder, which is a great position to have been in, what I always remember thinking about complaints that came to me personally is I saw those as the tip of the iceberg. Somebody who bothers to write to the CEO, if you see a trend in those complaints, then underneath the waterline, there is probably a lot more. And I think it's very powerful to write to CEOs.
I love what you said there, Isabel, about it really illustrates that point around transparency and aligning what your money's doing to your values. You mentioned the vegan point. And I think that's great, because I another example would be a doctor that spent her life treating cancer could then find out that she's invested in tobacco. You know, there's all sorts of stuff like that. And I think that comes back to, like I said, transparency. And, you mentioned Triodos, and it's often very hard to find out what your money is doing, whether it's in savings or pensions. So it's, again, it's asking those questions. And a term that's often used that I'm sure you've come across is ESG. So that's environmental, social and governance. So it's taking it just a bit beyond climate change. These are areas that can be looked at and scored against, all these different kind of indicators, to set investment policies and show what your money might be doing. So that could be everything from workers' rights, wage gaps, diversity, fair trade, how companies run, you know, all of these really important aspects that make up the overall sustainability of a company. And some things will be more important to individuals than others, depending on what your interests are. But the key thing is to try and understand it as best you can, and then do something about it if you're not happy with that.
That's what I think is so exciting about this and about this conversation, Hugh, is that when you talk to people about the environment, everybody's feeling frustrated, everybody's feeling powerless, everybody's feeling like there's nothing they can do. And here is yet another thing that people can do, you know, and they can have conversations about their pensions with people. And it gets rid of that feeling of overwhelm and depression and frustration that, you know, it's all going to shit and there's nothing we can do about it. Because yes, there are lots of things that we can do about it. And yes, it's fiddly. Sometimes it can be fiddly and it can be a lot of emails changing over from one thing to another. But in terms of what's going on in the world, we do need to take some radical actions. I love every time I feel like I'm giving someone another thing that they can do. I think that's exciting.
I feel as well that the power of a movement, sometimes you can feel a bit lonely, can't it, as someone trying to do something in isolation. And if you know that you're part of a movement, part of a campaign, part of a group of people doing something similar, can that help to make people feel more empowered?
Just following up on that point, what role do you think government has to play in ending investments into fossil industries?
I think it's fair to say that governments and regulators have a big role to play in transitioning to a cleaner future. I know that the UK government has set legally binding targets for net zero by 2050. And that will obviously require plans and action, including what government investment is focused on and what they don't finance. You know, there's examples like mandatory, it's another acronym, but TCFD, so that's Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, which will provide more data on emissions in finance portfolios and big companies. And that hopefully will lead to greater scrutiny and pressure to reduce emissions. But we think the government needs to move from disclosure to more mandatory plans and action to ensure urgency. But then there's things like bans on new petrol and diesel car sales from 2030. That will have a big impact. And so there's all of these different factors, including a huge role of finance. And I think that the UK's leadership at COP26 in Glasgow later this year means that really the eyes of the world are on us as a country and on the government. And it's imperative, therefore, that the government takes urgent action, both domestically and internationally, to embed net zero and other climate considerations in everything they do.
I mean, as an employer, what should I be doing? What should any employer be doing at this point, particularly in the build-up? Should we be lobbying government? Should we be lobbying the pension companies? Or should we be appealing to the individuals? I mean, how should we go about this? Is it everything, or is there a priority in there, do you think?
Well, speaking as Make My Money Matter, I mean, our focus obviously now is on pensions, and our immediate focus is on net zero and climate concerns, given the existential threat that poses to all of us. And so, you know, I think even considering and doing something with your pension as an employer is a great chance to align your business sustainability with what you provide for your employees. You know, if as a business you're going green, then your pension should too. And that's where the Green Charter that I mentioned earlier comes in. It's calling on pensions industry to agree those net zero targets for all investments by COP26 and engaging with trustees and pension providers to explore how those pension schemes can align as well. So again, similarly to what I said on for individuals, I'd say come to our website. I mentioned the Green Pension Charter. That's something that can be signed, add those names to the list of the 50 that we already have. And then we're also going to be making available a toolkit to give organisations a few pointers, a few practical tips in terms of what they can do. But similar, Juliet, to individuals, really, I'd say understand what your current pension is invested in. Consider whether that aligns with your business. Consider the views of your employees as well. Speak with your pension scheme or trustees. Engage to try and improve things and see what options there are. And, you know, as an organisation, despite having done all of that, in some cases you might find that you're still not happy. And ultimately, you could investigate moving pension provider if you're not happy with that. But of course, that needs careful consideration of various risks and costs.
Yeah, it's always tricky getting through that financial advice and all the other pieces.
Yeah.
And Isabel, you said we can take action individually and that's the one thing we can take responsibility. But couldn't we put a bit more pressure on the people who employ us? Couldn't we walk in through the door and say, I'm not sure I want to stay in this job unless you start changing what we're doing at a pension fund? I mean, we can get our action on every day in our offices, couldn't we?
I think if I worked for a company, those aren't quite the words that I'd use when I walked in through the door. You know, I mean, I think if I worked in a company and my company was not, didn't have green pensions, I would put a lot of thought into how exactly to approach the directors. So I'd speak to all my colleagues first about what their feelings were and sit and garner some support. And then bearing in mind that all companies, I think, are trying to move towards a more green and sustainable, you know, they've all got targets. You know, I think I would go in with a solution for them, you know, rather than a problem. I have a problem with this company not, you know, not having a green pension fund. I would go in with a solution. It's like, oh, we've been discussing our colleagues, you know, and we think we found another way to help this company move towards their zero carbon target. And so actually, it's a solution, isn't it? Because all companies are wanting to move in this direction. And so Hugh is offering a solution to companies.
It's really interesting, though, because that good, right? When we started off, when you're small, you kind of focus on the things, you set them all up. And we had an ethical investment fund. And unbeknownst to me, over time, we got some new brokers who then advised everybody else. And the default fund became the default fund, which wasn't an ethical investment fund. And so we ended up on this transition. And then the pension companies all got bought by other pension companies. So it's really interesting. You do need to keep focus on it, because even if you set it up with the best intentions, things kind of drift. And also people get very, I wanted to come out and do a big splash on this. And the senior leadership team were very concerned that we were going to tell our staff that our pension fund wasn't ethical, but it wasn't ethical. So we did need to tell them. We needed to get their activation. And it's quite interesting. There is this constant concern about not being transparent sometimes if you're not perfect. And I think we need to all agree that we're not perfect and then become more transparent. Sometimes the environmental sector gets a bit concerned with just being a bit too perfect. Actually, if we were a bit more honest, we might move things forward. It does seem that way into the banking sector, definitely, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in what you said there, I mean, I think there's definitely something about having the conversation. Just to really take it back to a more simplistic level, I think compared to a situation of not talking about money full stop, or the statistics I gave earlier around the high level of unawareness of the fact that your money does anything, then I think the fact that individuals or organizations are having constructive conversations about what their pensions are doing in relation to climate and the ESG I mentioned, I think has to be a great thing. You know, I mentioned before, and you said, Juliet, around keeping on top of things. For me, that comes back to, in large part, transparency again. Yeah. So not just in terms of how things change, but also just struggling to sometimes get that information. And so that was one thing I was going to just mention earlier. There's a few things that people might find useful in terms of tools. I mean, I think, Isabel, you mentioned ethical consumer, and that's a great example. There's others I throw out there, like a tool called Switch It. There's Good With Money, and then also a site called Bank.Green. And they're just some, you know, sometimes it can feel a bit like, oh, where do I start with this stuff?
Yeah.
And I think a combination of those things, I would suggest, are, you know, they're not going to give you all of the answers, but I think they can give some really useful insights for you to then take that enthusiasm and passion and desire to do something in an informed way right through to action.
Yeah.
You know, some people, it's a wonderful opportunity. Like, people love a bit of detective work. And I mean, for people that want to discover their inner investigative journalist, you know, I mean, I think it'd be really fun. You know, some people would really get fun in trying to find out, if you do have a pension fund, just what it's invested in. And if you can take humour in the negation and the obfuscation and the replies that don't give you the answer, and just go on digging. If you're one of those people that loves a good detective story and you're listening to this, then just try and find out what your money is invested in.
It's a great new book. We could publish all the letters, Isabel. I can see it coming. We've touched on sort of people's savings, and we've talked quite a lot about savings and where our money goes. But one of the things we've seen is obviously the next generation, young people really taking part in climate protests, school children, but school children don't have pensions. And the 20-somethings are going to be the next generation who are starting out. Where can we engage with them and make sure that they're engaging? I mean, universities are beginning to divest. Is this something we should be encouraging more to make sure that where our children are represented, they're not being undermined in a sort of generational inequality related to this question.
They have bank accounts though, don't they? Yeah, they
do have bank accounts. But I remember my first term as a student, and I must admit, I was probably focused on other things rather than remembering who my banking is with. But maybe we just need to make it more obvious.
No. I mean, I think students are passionate about the environment and passionate about the future.
Yeah.
And what we do know is that once you've signed up with a bank account, I mean, certainly in my case, I joined a bank when I was 18.
Yeah.
And it took me till I did this project to leave it. There's all kinds of golden handshakes out there and various bribes to get young people to join a bank account. You know, I think the green accounts have got to be on top of that and got to be competing. But I mean, I think if the message comes across, it matters. I think the head of Extinction Rebellion, who was recently seen smashing up a cash point with a large hammer, you know, and her rage against, we will name them, Barclays. I mean, I think stuff like that certainly gets the attention and gets the message across that that all is not well in your local high street bank. But anyway, so I do think it's important that young people get their enthusiasm for the planet matched up with their bank account. Yeah, immediately. Yes.
Yes.
There's a saying that I remember from a while ago, and I'm sure it's still true, is that you're more likely to have a relationship with your bank for longer than the average marriage. Something like that.
It's certainly just, true in my case. How about you, Hugh?
No, I'm good on that. So it really shows how stagnant things are, despite the great upturns in levels of switching. But I think to your point, Julia, I think from a pension side of view, we want every young person to have a sustainable pension from day one. So,
yeah. You
know, the first day of their first job, they get auto-enrolled into their pension. We want that to be a sustainable net zero Paris aligned pension, which is where we're coming at it in terms of changing those defaults so that they never have to invest in things they're not happy with. And ideally, they never even have to have this discussion because it's almost the new normal, if you like. And the other thing I'd say is, you know, children right now, certainly on pensions, they won't be able to directly influence things through their own money, but they can still learn about it. They can still speak with family members who have pensions and ask questions of them about where theirs is invested. And of course, you know, in the scheme of things, it won't be long before that 10-year-old or whatever it is working and does have a pension. So at that point, as a group, they'll be able to demand those sustainable default pensions. So I do think there's a number of things to do, and is not just on pensions, but like you say, on bank accounts as well. And sorry to sound like a stuck record, but I think it is about checking out some of those tools, trying to educate yourself as much as possible, and aligning that passion to an understanding of what's going on and what your choices are.
So, Hugh, can I just ask a question? Sorry, just just on behalf of one person who, if there's anyone like me who doesn't even have a pension, can they go to Make My Money Matters website and get the answers?
We certainly don't advise people on what to do,
you know,
as a campaign. And like I say, what we're trying to do is to really create that movement, which is asking for change. But what we do is signpost people to some useful places where they can find that information to make their own minds up. Yeah.
And you, should we be worried about other financial instruments as well? I mean, banks make a lot of money out of mortgages. I mean, admittedly, they're lending us money. But should we be thinking about moving our mortgages as well as our pension?
I suppose it depends how you see things, doesn't it? Like you say, on the case of a mortgage, you're the one borrowing the money, but then you have a brand connection. So
yeah.
I guess you could argue that you're providing that kind of profitability to the business. So I suppose to some degree, it depends how you see it. I mean, just to go back to the point you raised earlier, I mean, if you look at that overall bank as institution question, there's the data from BankTrack showed that fossil fuel firms have received, I think it's $3.8 trillion in finance since the Paris climate deal in 2015, which is staggering, from 60 banks, only 60 banks around the world. And some of those, of course, will be in the UK. So that stuff is still continuing, even as this public sentiment has shifted. So, I mean, for me, I think there's a product-specific question, absolutely, but there's also a brand relationship question. And I suppose it depends how you see it, but I would say that's certainly part of it. That will include mortgages, it will include current accounts, it will include all of these different aspects of financial services, I guess.
And Isabel, I mean, you started to touch on what about people who are self-employed, who don't necessarily have an employer that they can start banging on the door? I mean, you don't have a pension, but how do you think you go about going to try and find a pension that was a bit more ethical as a self-employed person? Do you think you might have more flexibility?
Well, that's why I was asking Hugh if they have a list, because I'm thinking of the listeners to this podcast who, like me, might not have a pension, and whether that's something, if they go to the Make My Money Matters website, whether that's something that you could possibly... Do you not have a list on the website, Hugh, or is that something that you might consider doing in the future?
There's something that we would signpost to. It's someone that I mentioned earlier, which is the Good With Money website. And I know that they have a guide to ethical pensions. But there are a number of schemes that have made that commitment. So just a few to give you just some examples. So there's Nest, Aviva, Scottish Widows. They've all made 2050 net zero commitments, importantly, including a 50% reduction by 2030. There's a provider called Cushion who launched the world's first net zero pension. And there's also some company schemes who are committed to net zero, like BT. So yeah, I would say check out the Good With Money list, and there will be others as well, just to have a bit of a starting place as to options that you have.
One of the tricky areas about this is financial advice is very difficult to give to individuals, isn't it, in this area?
Yeah.
Because of the legislation surrounding it. How do we pick through that? Because Isabel's right, it would be so brilliant if there was a really easy place to just switch all of these things. But as far as I understand, you have to be FSA regulated before you can start dishing out this type of advice. Is that right?
Yeah, and there are tight guidelines around who can give advice and what advice is. And it is really important, because we need to remember as well that, you know, things like pensions and long-term investments, that kind of thing, you know, they're important financial decisions, and they do make a potentially big impact on your retirement and different life stages. So it is something to give serious consideration to. It's a tricky one. And, you know, I understand your point, Isabel, and it would be great to have that simple answer, and there are places where you can get pointed in the right direction. And at the same time, I think it's true to say that on some of these bigger decisions, you know, there does need to be a bit of homework or help from people that can give that advice as well.
And Hugh, do you think there is an issue in this? I mean, we've seen a lot of discussion around environmental, social good, ESG investing, becoming more and more important and more interesting, which is fantastic. But is there a concern that people will put that badge on things, but actually it'll just be, I mean, I think I came across something recently, which was an investment in a gas field, and they leak slightly less gas than other gas fields. And apparently that's ESG investing. And my view is that's not. Is there a lot more work for the industry now to do on getting transparency? So Isabel can go on her blog or talk to people in a really simple way about where their money's going.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. And we talked a bit about ESG. I mean, I read somewhere recently, you know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of different scores and, you know, metrics in terms of what you're looking at, and not necessarily consistency between what certain companies look at and how they score. And it, like you were saying, Isabel, it can just be a complete minefield in terms of not having a simple answer. So I completely agree that what we need is more transparency and more consistency, and hopefully that will come, and that then should then make it a lot easier for individuals, but also, you know, in investors and investment companies to make those decisions. I mean, on a positive note, I think there is great news in that recent years there has been a real boom in ESG investing and choice, and there is a real momentum. So I think there's some good news there, but absolutely, that, you know, that comes with the danger of greenwashing, whether it's intentional or with good intent but inadequate substance to it. I think that's one that we're very aware of. And as Make My Money Matter goes, the way that we're approaching this as far as pensions is to say, right, for it to be credible, we need it to have X, Y, and Z. And because, like I say, we're focusing on net zero and climate at the moment, for us that looks like, do you have a net zero commitment by 2050? Does that include a 50% reduction by 2030? Is it measured using internationally recognized standards? And do you have credible plans in place in order to actually do what you're saying you're going
to
do.
But for anyone listening that wants to swap their pension, you mentioned there's a website called Switch It that they could go and look at. There's another one called Good With Money. Did I get that correctly?
There are a number of different tools and they can do different things. But I would say there's Bank.Green, which maybe gives you a bit more of a sense around what your bank is investing in and therefore whether you might want to switch. There's Good With Money. There's Ethical Consumer is a great one. They do some thorough work, and also Switch It. So there are some tools, you know, and they're not going to be perfect. And part of the problem is that the data is not always consistent and it's not always complete. And I think that's something that individuals and the industry struggles with. And I think that really is one of the big things that we need to fix, which ultimately then should address your totally understandable concern about how easy it is or how hard it is to make what should be relatively simple choices. And this is what we're trying to do, is that there's a huge opportunity for a simple action that you can take on pensions is to sign up as part of a movement, as a campaign, and actually make your voice heard and actually change the default, rather than just having a small proportion of people switching to something else, because that won't change the dial enough, if you like. It won't. The best thing we can do is to change the default. And of course, you should investigate switch options, you know, whether after you've had advice and really dug into it a bit more. But I would really urge people to at least as a start, to really
do both. Do both.
Well, possibly do both, but make your voice heard.
Yeah. So we've got to a point where I think we've got carrot and stick in there, is what I'm hearing. So let's empower people to do things and make sure we regulate to make it happen for everybody. Mm-hmm. So guys, I'm going to ask you now to do a bit of summing up.
Ooh,
we do this bit where we ask you to try and do it in 20 seconds, okay? Now, I am going to come to Isabel, to you first. Okay, I want 20 seconds of, can we invest our cash today without threatening tomorrow?
Yes, we can invest our cash today without threatening tomorrow. Swap to Triodos. It's very easy. There's an easy way and a hard way. I did it the hard way because I also used the opportunity to have a financial overhaul. But you can also do it the simple way. Speak to Triodos, they'll help you. And they even have a card that's not made of plastic.
There you go.
Perfect time. So,
Triodos is going to love us for this particular podcast. I am now going to pass to Hugh. Hugh, you've got 20 seconds. Ready, set, go.
Okay, I would say absolutely we can, and we can do better than that too. We can invest our money today for a better tomorrow. Our money has an impact. We need to ensure it's not threatening the future and instead is actively working to create the kind of world we want to live. Ask all good questions, demand change, consider switching if you're not happy, tell people you know to think about their money, whether it's pensions or savings or current accounts. Oh, that's about 22 seconds.
Sorry. It went slightly over, but I think you got a lot in there, Hugh. That was perfect. Thank you so much, both of you, for a really interesting conversation on pensions and banking and finance. And I hope lots of people take away and take some actions as a result of today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Great Green Questions. If you like the show, then please rate and review and hit follow to never miss out on an episode. If you have a Great Green question of your own that you would like us to answer, please feel free to get in touch with me on Twitter @DavenportJulia or Insta @Davenport.Juliet. Thank you very much for listening. See you next week.